exposure correction, color control, filters, sharpening, file types, white balance, sizing, archiving, printing, high resolution images. Almost live from the virtual center of the internet, it's the Secrets of Digital Imaging audio magazine.
This is volume 1, number 13 of the Secrets of Digital Imaging audio magazine. I'm Dennis Hayes, your host and editor for this edition and all editions so far. Tonight's edition's a little truncated due to our problems from last night. Up here in upper New York State, we had some electrical storms. It knocked power out to my house, sort of a brownout, and then a full blackout from 3:30 in the afternoon till about 3:15 in the morning. Therefore, no computer, and I couldn't get the podcast up and going. So tonight, we'll give you some stuff and answers to a couple of emails that I received, one in particular, and we'll go over that and tell you about what's coming up next week on our Secrets of Digital Imaging audio magazine. I think next week's show is going to be quite nice. I arranged it today, so I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. But for right now, let's get on with the show. I think for tonight's episode, I'm going to handle it a little bit differently. I got an email from one of our listeners, Mark. I don't know where he's from, though. I can't tell by his email. But anyway, he asked me three what I thought were fairly important questions. So wrapped up in my answering those questions, I think that I'll throw out some products, and I'll talk about other products that I found near the end of the podcast or the audio magazine this evening. I'm recording it right now about 9 o'clock at night on the Eastern time zone. Anyway, Mark asked in his email to me that, first of all, he's still shopping for his first digital prosumer camera. The first question he had is there a way that a digital camera, a good quality prosumer type, can help take old 35mm slides, or photos for that matter, and get them into digital form? Attachments or products or software for this? Let's divide this into the two separate areas that he's really talking about. One is old photographs or that you may have lying around, that, like I have, way back a couple of generations in the family, or those that you may have that a year or two ago before you got a digital camera. The best way to take any flat artwork, including digital photos, is to use a scanner, a off-the-shelf scanner by any of the major companies, Canon, Epson, etc. I have a Epson 1260. It cost me, I think, $50 plus shipping when I bought it, and it's fantastic. A little bit of tweaking, and I think if you go back to one of my earlier editions, I'll talk a little bit about using a scanner. You don't need a really good scanner to get good results from digitizing your prints. 300 dots per inch by 300 is going to be fine, unless you want to take a small one and make it a little bit larger. Remember, however, as I said before, that the prints that you get from negatives are second generation. The negatives are first generation. So therefore, there's some lack of quality when you scan a picture, an original picture. So depending upon how well it was taken, how well tweaked in the photo lab was when they made the picture, and how sharp your scanner is, which should be in today's world very sharp, it should be able to get a fairly good result from scanning the flat artwork, the photographs that you have, both black and white and color. You may have to tweak the contrast down a little bit. Scanners are notorious for beefing up the contrast. That means it makes the blacks blacker, the whites whiter, and pulls the colors density in that manner. So you may have to compensate for that by tweaking it back, making it a little bit less contrasty when you get it out. That's the easy part. An inexpensive $50 to $80 scanner, Epson, Canon, should be just fine for digitizing your old photographs. His other side of that question on slides is a little bit more difficult. There is no, that I've been able to find out, universal device that connects to a front of a camera or a lens that has a drop-in for shooting slides. Also, that if you did have one, you'd have to be very careful about the light coming from the back of it, because you have to have the light coming through the slide into the lens of the camera. You don't want to have sunlight coming directly through. That's going to be too harsh. You don't want to use a standard light bulb inside the house, because that has the wrong color value. That's a tungsten light. So what you really like to have is ambient light that spills in through a room through a window. And if you would have some translucent plastic that is optically white, so it doesn't filter the light and make it a different color, in back of the slide, so that any light coming in is diffused and you get even light throughout the slide, you could probably shoot it with most prosumer cameras that have the capability of shooting macro or close-up. Remember, on last week's edition, we discussed close-up. Use some of those techniques with slides to do it. I don't recommend it, however. Having said all that and talking about it and thinking about it, it's a lot of work to set up a device and a platform to put one slide in after another. And you have to figure, what is your time worth on doing this duty? It's boring duty once you get it tweaked in. There are other places that you can go, such as, I just picked one out that I know about. It's called Old Photo in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. There are others around the world. And their prices differ greatly, so you might want to look on the web as slide duplicating service or slide digitizing. To give you an idea, Old Photo takes scans of the slides, and their charges right now are 50 cents a piece for the first 100, 45 for the next 100, and then 40 for the third 100, and anything over 300 at 35 cents each. That's not a bad price for photographing slides or making or digitizing them. And they put them onto a DVD for you. Now, you got to be careful when you do this to find out what resolution they're going to do that's going to be on there. Can you use these digitized images to make decent size photographs? For instance, you want to make up to an 8x10, you want a pretty good scan of this. So you may want to try a couple of slides first from any one of these companies. Get back a DVD or CD from them, whichever you can use, and then put it in your computer and try and print out some of these images at a couple different sizes and see what they look like and make sure they're okay. If not, then go down the road to the next one and try that. But I would definitely try that and see what it comes out. Normally, you're going to get pretty good results. It's been color corrected. From what I've heard from other people, and I just talked to a gentleman that I know that has over 4,000 slides. He started on his journey of sending 100 or 200 in at a time to have them made into CDs and DVDs for himself, and he's quite happy with the results. So that's something that you can look at in going in that direction. Mark also asked, and that's pretty much an answer that I have for Mark, by the way, is taking slides and putting them into digital form. Either you got to make up a rig to do it yourself, because there's nothing out there that I know of that allows you to do it on your own, or you send out to some of these companies who do slide duplicating or slide digitizing service. A little caveat for you. Don't send out your entire slide collection at one time. Things get lost in the mail. I don't want to scare you, but you're much better off, by the way, of taking a grouping and sending them out there once, and then follow that up with another group. And if you can, use some of the courier services like UPS or FedEx or DHL. I think you'll be happier that you have a signed manifest and it's been signed when it's received, so you can tell where it is. If you send it in by post or mail, unless you have a way of tracking it through, I personally would much rather send it in through a courier service. I feel better about it. The extra expense to me is not as much as what it would be if I had if I had lost everything. So take that as it may, as a little flag of warning for you. By the way, just for your information, when I was shooting professionally on film, I would go down to the photo lab, hand carry the film down to the photo lab, but I would only give them rolls number 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, all the odd numbers first, and then I would come back a day or two later and I'd give them 2, 4, 6, 8, the even numbers. That way, if they had an accident in the lab, I was still covering myself as best I could by having two different batches going in at two different times. That, to me, was a way of ensuring that I had something to show my client. That comes out of a mistake that I made early on when I turned everything in and it was lost in a photo lab accident, chemical contamination, and I lost everything. And I lost the money on that job, and I threatened to get sued by my client. So I learned never to make that same mistake again. Okay, just wanted to give you that as a word of warning on how you may want to handle it yourself. Mark's second question was, could you do a podcast on the popular software for organizing and editing digital pictures, weighing power against price, similar to how I did in choosing a camera? I have this planned for an upcoming episode. I want to take some of the major pieces that I've already mentioned in previous audio magazine editions, such as Thumbs Plus and ACDC, and there's a couple of others out there that I do want, iMatch, that I do want to talk about. But I want to get into them a little bit more than I usually did, than I have. It's got to be more than a cursory glance. I have to give you something to go on with that. So I'm going to delay that one for a little bit. It may be a few weeks out, but we're definitely going to get to that one. It is on my list. The other third question that Mark had was, I like the idea of showing digital pictures to a group using a TV versus using 4x6 prints. And he thinks, as somewhat that I do, the days of physical photo albums are numbered. It says, could I do a podcast on what equipment setup is needed to have the pics show up cleanly? It says, TVs don't usually seem to display pics well. This, he said, would be his standard way of showing digital pictures. So, and by the way, he's given me permission to read his email and to use it in my podcast. So this is done with permission, by the way. Okay. In looking around, there are very few services or devices that enable you to take your pictures and show them on a television. Most of the time, what you have to do is use those pictures and create a slideshow using any numbers of the software, and I'll talk about some of those software in a little bit, and create a CD or a DVD from that software, and then put that into your CV or DVD player and play it through the TV set. That doesn't give you as much control as what you would really like to be able to do. Some cameras gave you the ability to show your pictures on a television. The old, I still have one, Olympus E20N had the ability to connect to a television to be able to do that. However, all that being said, I was able to find one product out there which really looked quite interesting, and it's something that I may pick up myself because of what it is and the price on it. I know, okay, tell me about it, right? All right, this is made by SanDisk Corporation. This is the same company that makes a lot of the memory cards that you may use inside your digital camera, the compact flash cards, for instance, or thumb drives, or XD memory cards. And it's called SanDisk Photo Album. I'm going to read to you directly from their website, because they say it about as well as I could. Now, viewing and sharing digital photos is as simple as watching TV. SanDisk, the world leader in flash data storage, introduces SanDisk Photo Album, the easy and affordable way to view, share, and store your digital photos on your TV. Just insert your memory card or USB flash drive, and you can show larger-than-life images and video clips and play MP3 music files on your home audio system, all in the comfort of your living room, family room, den, or any other place you like to watch TV. All right, let me tell you a little bit about what this is. It's a small device about as big as a VHS tape and a remote control. The small device fits and connects to the television set. and it has slots in there for all the major memory cards. It's an 8-in-1 reader-writer, in fact, if you connect it to the PC. So you can put in there compact flash type 1 or type 2, including that, I presume that would be the old IBM microdrive or Hitachi microdrive, the Sony memory stick size, memory stick pro, smart media, XD, XD type M, SD, and multimedia cards. You can use cameras that record images at resolutions up to 16 megapixels, and as well as motion JPEG, MPEG 1, and at resolutions up to 8 frames per second, and MP3 up to 32 kps. So the original device is lightweight and easily transportable. As I said, it's about the size of a VHS tape. It's 187 millimeters by 66 millimeters by 20 millimeters. It is, as I said, it's compatible. It supports all the popular digital camera media formats. It supports JPEG files, the most common form. You can instantly create albums with music on your TV. It also functions as a reader if you plug it into your computer. As a storage option to store about 2,000 photos on a 128 megabyte CF card or USB flash drive inserted into the back. And that 128 megabyte flash drive is just an example of the capacity that's not included. And it comes with a remote control and comes with also a 2-year warranty. Excuse me. The price on this, take a guess. I thought it was maybe $100, $150 in the United States. But I found places such as B&H Photo Video, which is a mail order out of New York City, for $39.95. So it seems to me that this is a device like Mark could use. It's small enough that you could pack it away in the gadget bag that your camera's in. You can go to a client location, connect it to the television set, take the card that comes right out of the camera immediately and plug it into the front end of this, and using remote control start to go back and forth with the pictures and look at them as a group. Now granted, the television resolution is not the greatest in the world, but it is one of the most convenient electronic options you have for viewing the pictures. So that's something that I would really take a look at, and something that I didn't even know existed before Mark wrote me that that email. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the emails I get. I've gotten a couple of good ones this past week. So that's a couple of the ideas that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple of Photoshop software that I wanted to bring to your attention. There's PhotoPulse, which supports theme libraries and it allows you to make slideshow, your own animated flash slideshow from your digital photos and any MP3 music. You can automatically select from dozens of effects and transitions. You can watch a slideshow in a web browser or full screen on a PC. You can share slideshows via CD-ROM, and it's easy, and they say if you can click a mouse, you can create a professional-looking flash show of your own. And they and their website, which I will have on my show notes, is great for weddings, birthdays, new babies, graduation parties, bar mitzvah, family reunion, etc., all those things. How easy is it? Install and run the software, decide which of your digital photos you'll use, decide which MP3 music you'll use in a slideshow. And music is optional, you don't have to use it, and click the create button. That's it. Done. You got a slideshow. Now, this is one you can take and show on a TV. And for Mark, I presume if you're using it in a business environment, you may not want the music because you'll be stopping picture by picture, and you'd probably want to cut down on the transitions. Usually, one of the problems I see with a lot of people is the overuse of tricks, of transitions. After a while, it gets to be pretty old for the viewer looking into it. It's like every time you, what's that old story, when you get a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You want to pound everything. The special effects that they have are bubbles, fades, zooms, slides, pans, flips. There's a lot more. There's no special viewer required. It can be played through ordinary web browsers. And slideshow software is compatible with Windows, Windows 98 ME 2000 or XP. Slideshow playback is supported on any system with Flash 4 or higher, including Windows and Macintosh. So here, if you have a Windows computer, you can create the slideshow, but you can play it back on any computer with Windows and Mac. So that's an idea of possible use for you. Again, it'll be on the show notes. By the way, let me see if I can see what that price is on that. Here it is. It is $34.95 U.S. Another piece of software that I have is Try Before You Buy Shareware. It's, I think, $10. I'll take a look at me see what it is. And it's, yes, $10. I was right on that. It is called MBiz Group Batch Photo Editor. Came out in December of last year. It's for all versions of Windows and is an easy-to-use, powerful batch photo editing application. With Windows Explorer integration, users can right-click on multiple image files and select resize, compress, convert, rotate, upload, apply text watermark, or apply image logo. So that's available, and I'll show you that on the show notes as well. A new one that came about that was reviewed by PC Magazine is called Photo Fiddle, PHOTOFIDDLE. It's an online service, photofiddle.com, that takes your digital photos and turns them into works of art. You can choose output that mimics an oil painting, pop art, high-end photo collage, and lots more. They say their site is easy to use and plenty of styles to choose from, are the pros. Cons by the magazine, PC Mag, are no way yet to save a project and return to it later. Previewing and rendering can take up to 2 minutes, so set aside some time if you plan on sampling multiple photos and multiple styles. The price for the service is $14.95. And that is at www.photofiddle.com. And the last one I'm going to talk about is Photo Show Deluxe. And again, rated by PC Magazine as 3 out of 5. They give it a good. It's extremely powerful, yet wonderfully easy to use. The pros that they have are it lets you organize, edit, share, print, and tag your photos from a single interface. Provides all sorts of tools for building slideshows and screensavers. Even handles videos. The cons are a bit slow to load, and users can't search help. Search the help interface. The price on a try before you buy is $49.99. It comes from a company called SimpleStar at www.simplestar.com, and I'll have this up there. It's a photo management tool. Handles, as I said, photos and videos. And like Photoshop, Elements of Picasa is particularly adept at organizing and tagging the photos. Those, everything I've talked about will be up on my show notes. Be sure to look at them. And that's what we're discussing this evening. Hope that this helps you, especially you, Mark, who wrote in for those questions. Please write in if you have any questions at all. I would love to cover them on the podcast. It's something that I really enjoy doing when I come up and see what you want rather than what I want. By the way, thank you for all the new subscribers that we have and all the new listeners. I love getting the email, positive and negative. That's that way I can make this better. And also all the iTunes people that have come in, thanks for showing up. We have an interesting show for you for next week. If all goes well, next Friday evening, late my time, I'll be doing a recording with somebody that's going to talk a little bit about aerial photography, and then we're going to get into the meat of the subject, which is how to get your photos out there, how to get them out so people can see them safely, what to use, how to possibly market them. So all of you that are sitting on piles of digital images that you think are wonderful, the world needs to see them. Next week we'll try and tell you how to do it. Until then, cards, letters, let me know what you need. I'm here, Dennis at imagingsecrets.com. I'll try and answer them, but if I feel they're worthwhile, like I did Mark's, I'll put them up on the audio magazine. Until next week, see ya.
This has been an Imaging Secrets production. Copyright 2005, Imaging Secrets and Dennis Hayes. All rights reserved. You can contact us using telephone or email. Telephone 1-518-479-4220. Email dennis@imagingsecrets.com. Our website and audio archives can be found at www.imagingsecrets.com.